Joshua chapter 3, and reading from the verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. Those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, field, and were cut off. The people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. And we'll end our reading at the close of the chapter and trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. I want to speak to you this morning upon the subject, treading new ways. You will see my text at the end of verse 4 of Joshua chapter 3. Where it was said unto the people, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." In other words, you're beginning to walk and tread a path that you have not walked or trodden before. These words were spoken not to an individual, not to a person or an individual believer, but rather they were spoken to the people of God collectively, to all of God's people. The group of people in question was, of course, the children of Israel. The Lord had brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He had redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb. And for 40 years, for a generation, they had wandered through the wilderness that lay between Egypt and Canaan. For periods of that time, they would pitch their tent around the tabernacle. When the cloud of God's presence resided over a particular place, the tabernacle was pitched. The children of Israel pitched their own personal family tent around the tabernacle, and they remained there until the Lord led them a little further on in their journey. And so for a period of time, they lived as nomads and sojourners. Then when the pillar of cloud or fire would move from the tabernacle, the people would pack up their tent and move a little farther on in their journey toward Canaan. But after 40 years in the wilderness, the Lord brought them to the border of Canaan on the east side of the River Jordan. And there he prepared them to enter into the land of Canaan. In the timing and in the providence of God, it might be said that in Joshua chapter 3, they have come to that place where they are about to cross Jordan. They are about to enter into that land the Lord had promised them as an inheritance way back to the times of Abraham. Many hundreds of years previous, God had said to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob, "This is the land that I will give you." And now he's brought them, and they've multiplied, that they're as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars of heaven. They are millions in number. And they have come to the border. They're about to enter into that land. And I'm saying that in God's timing and in God's providence, Israel was about to enter in not only to a new era and a new period, but they were about to enter in to that place that the Lord had promised to them. And God confirmed that in Joshua chapter 3. And in the verse 4, when he said unto them, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." When preaching on this text, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 1800s, he said this: "Some spirits are given to change and would almost leap from the pan to the fire. But others take root more deeply and dread transplanting." Spurgeon went on to say, "We know the present, but dread the unknown tomorrow. We are familiar with the wilderness trials, but shudder at the Jordan which lies before us. We shudder at the giants and chariots of iron that are to be encountered in Canaan." And yet, while such times of change are inevitable in the work of God, yet in our earthly pilgrimage and in our walk with the Lord, we discover that the Lord has words of encouragement, words of comfort, words to strengthen, and words to guide us at such a time. And in Joshua chapter 3, I believe that we have those very encouragements before us. And I want this morning to set them before you. Treading new paths or new ways, there are a number of encouragements for us in this portion of Scripture from the experience of the children of Israel. And the first thing I want you to notice is this: that in treading a new path, the children of Israel had the presence of the Lord that went before them. That's the first thing. Underline it. Mark it in your mind. You can mark it in the Word if you mark your Bible. They had the presence of the Lord that went before them. Look at verse 3. When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. That is, go after the ark. Look at verse 6. Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Look at verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. As the Israelites sent forward to cross Jordan, and Jordan was overflowing its banks, it was that time of the year that the snow would melt in the mountains of Lebanon, and the water would flow down into the Jordan Valley, and the river would be overflown. And as they went forward to cross Jordan, God had explained to Joshua and Joshua to the people, the ark of the Lord, the ark of the covenant, was to go before them. The priests would take the ark and they would lead the way. Did you see in verse 6? The ark of the covenant went before the people. Verse 11, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you. The ark was that golden box. It was the most sacred piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And as the priests would carry it, they would carry it down to Jordan. The ark was made of shittim wood, and it was covered with fine gold. It would be carried by the priests with two staves on their shoulders, so four priests would carry the ark. Picture it in your mind. Two staves at either side going through the ark. Two priests at the front with the ark upon their shoulder. Two priests at the back with the ark upon their shoulder. And they would carry it down on the Jordan. And yet, between the priests and the people, there would be a space of 2,000 cubits, about a kilometer. The ark would go before. And then around 1 kilometer, the people would walk behind the ark. Men and women, in the Old Testament, the ark of the covenant is not only a type of Jesus Christ, but it is the symbol of God's presence among his people. I have said the ark was made of shittim wood. That shittim wood is a type of the humanity of Christ. It was the earthly part of the ark. But then it was overlaid with pure or fine gold. That speaks of the deity of Jesus Christ. Gold is the color, the symbol of heaven. And of course, the Son of God came down from heaven and he took into union with his divine person, a human nature. And it symbolized in the ark, the shittim wood, the earthly part, was overlaid with fine gold, the heavenly part. And then within the ark, within the ark of the covenant, there was kept a pot of manna. Moses was instructed that three things were to be within the ark of the covenant. There was a pot of manna. And that reminds us that Jesus is the bread of life. There was Aaron's rod that budded. You read about it in Numbers 17. How that Aaron had his rod. It was a dead stick, and yet he left it in the tabernacle overnight, and it budded. In other words, it flowered. It was dead, and yet it came to life. And that speaks to us that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Though he was dead, yet he rose again from the dead. And then within the ark, there was not only the pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded, but there were the tables of the law, the Ten Commandments. And that teaches us that Jesus is the judge of all the earth. Oh, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. And I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter 40 for a moment, for I want you to see something very interesting about the ark. Of course, the mercy seat sat upon the ark of the covenant. But look at Exodus chapter 40 and the verse 34. After Moses had finished the construction of the tabernacle, it tells us there, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, The cloud was the symbol of God's presence. And when the tabernacle was finished, its construction and its building, the presence of the Lord came down and dwelt over the tabernacle. The tent is a particular reference to the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant resided and dwelt. If you turn over to Numbers chapter 9 and the verse 15, you will see that this is confirmed. Numbers chapter 9 and the verse 15, we read, "And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up," in other words, the day that it was built and its construction was finished, "the cloud," that is the symbol of God's presence, "covered the tabernacle," namely the tent of the testimony. The tent of the testimony was the inner part of the tabernacle. It was the inner court, the place where the Ark of the Covenant dwelt. And you had the presence of the Lord dwelling over the Ark of the Covenant. For God had said to Moses, when the mercy seat sat upon the ark, he said, "There I will meet with you and I will dwell with you." There's a message in the gospel there that God meets with sinners. His presence is known in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the blood-stained mercy seat. But in Joshua chapter 3, when Joshua was leading the people of God forward into an untrodden way and path, the ark, the symbol of Christ, that also symbolized the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ among his people, it went before them. They did not have to cross Jordan before the presence of the Lord led them forth that way and went before them. And men and women, the Word of God assures us that God leads His people onward and forward with Himself, and He takes the lead. He goes before. Listen to Deuteronomy 1 and 30. "Dread not, neither be afraid of them, the Lord your God, which goeth before you. He shall fight for you." He wasn't going to lead his people without going on and leading them and going before them. Listen to Isaiah 45 and 2. He said, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight." Sometimes the Lord's leading. We come to crooked places. We come to difficult times. We come to obstacles and trials. But he says, in his going before us, he makes the crooked places straight. Listen to Isaiah 52 and verse 12. "Ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward." In other words, the Lord will go before you, and then He will come behind you. He will lead you forward, and He will be your rearward as well. That's why when the Ark of the Covenant stood in the River Jordan, it went before that the people would follow down into Jordan, but the people passed on through, all 2 to 3 million of them, and the ark remained in Jordan until every one of them had passed through and on the other side, because the Lord not only leads us forward, but He also comes behind. He's the shield that encompasses us, and He has promised that He will go before and He will be our rearward. And then in the New Testament, we read those lovely words in John 10, verse 3 and 4. "He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out." The New Testament shepherd goes before the sheep. And then we read, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him." Now I wonder this morning, am I speaking to some individual? There's application here for you. Maybe there's a new door of opportunity opening. Maybe it's employment. Maybe it's in service. Maybe it's in some other way. When we follow the leading of the Lord, He goes before His people. He makes the crooked places straight, and He leads us, and He brings up the rear, and He tells us He will fight for us, and He will make all things well. For the people of God collectively, I simply say, by way of reassurance, that whenever the Lord brings us to untrodden paths, He always goes before His people. He always leads the way. It was Moses who cried in Exodus 33:15, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." The Lord's presence did go with him, and the Lord's presence will go with us as we seek to walk with Him and witness for Him in the days that are to come. If you turn back to Joshua chapter 3, you will see that the Lord's presence, or the presence of the Lord, not only went before them, but the word of the Lord went with them. They had come to that way they had not passed heretofore, and the word of the Lord went with them. Look at verse 9 and 10. "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby shall ye know the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites." As the people of God set out to follow the presence of the Lord and the ark of the Lord, they were to do so with the word of God ringing in their ears and abiding in their hearts. And child of God, the lesson is this: we cannot follow the Lord if we do not give attention to and take heed to the word of God in our lives. It was the psalmist who said in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And you will see he picked his descriptive theme well. For he's talking about walking with the Lord, following the Lord, and we walk with the Lord and we follow the Lord in a dark world. And how are we to follow Jesus in a dark world? We're to take the word of God, and he describes it as a lamp. It's a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. I don't know about you, sometimes in the middle of the night when I waken up, I woke up a couple of nights ago and one of the children were shouting, and you wake up from your sleep and the first thing you do is you panic. And I jumped out of the bed to run to see what was wrong. And I was going like this here. I could, because there's a wall, you see, beside the door. And I'm thinking, I don't want to hit my head off the wall that juts out beside the bedroom door. But it was pitch black. And I don't know if you've had that experience at any time, in any situation, and it's pitch black, and you're just groping your way for somewhere to get your bearings and know you're going to be all right. Well, this world is pitch black darkness to the Christian. We live in a dark world. And how can we follow Jesus? How can we follow the Lord? You can only do it with the light of God's word. And it's the light of God's word that leads us on with Him. But I'm saying to you, you won't follow Jesus. You might hit your head. You might hit more than your head if you don't have the light of God's word to shine and to lead you on with Him. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Joshua was to take heed. He's going forward. He's following the Lord. But he had to take heed to the word of God. Isn't that what the Lord reminded him in chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 of this book? Look at it again. Chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. The Lord says to Joshua, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee." Do you notice Joshua's being exhorted to be strong and courageous? Is he being exhorted to be strong, to face the Canaanites, to fight the enemy. That takes courage, but that's not what the Lord's telling him he needs courage to do. No, he needed to be strong and courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. Joshua is exhorted, be strong and courageous to do the word of God. You see, the old devil would want us to compromise. He would want us to set the word of God to the side, to do our own thing, to go with our own ideas and our own notions to encounter the enemy and to go forward. We can do it in our own strength or in our own way, but no, the Lord's saying to Joshua, you're going forward and you're following the presence of the Lord. You need to observe, you need to do, you need to obey the word of the Lord. And in obeying the word of the Lord, you will prosper and you will have good success. Christian, if you want to prosper in your life, if the church of Christ wants to prosper spiritually for the Lord, then we need to be brave and observe and obey the word of the Lord. You can't follow the Lord. You can't go forward for the Lord if you don't observe the word of the Lord. And Israel was to follow the Lord with God's word ringing in their ears and abiding in their hearts. But you'll notice particularly what the word of God related to. Look at verse 10. Hereby shall ye know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites. And then the list of the inhabitants of the land are given. It related to the battle. You see, as Israel entered Canaan, they would encounter the ungodly inhabitants of the land. They would have to engage them in the battle. They would have to drive them out. They would have to take possession of the land. There were new enemies and great enemies to face. You see, sometimes while God brings us to new beginnings, he also brings us to new battles. And with every era in the history of the people of God, there are always enemies to face and battles to fight. And no matter at what stage we are in the Christian journey or in our service for the Lord, there will be the enemy to engage and encounter, to overcome and to fight. Child of God, the word of God reminds us that we have an adversary, the devil. He's seeking whom he may devour, and he is always seeking new ways and new inventions to trap or ensnare or bring the people of God down. And so the Lord reminds Joshua as he's going forward with the people of God, there are not only new paths to tread, but there are new enemies to encounter. The chariots of iron, the chariots of brass, the giants of the land, the sons of Anak. You'll have to face them, but look at verse 10 again and you'll see that while the word of God related to the battle, the word of God reassured them of victory in the battle. The living God, he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites. This is a repetition of what God told Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, in relation to the battle in the land of Canaan and facing the Anakims. The Lord told Moses, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you. There it is again. The Lord will go before you. He'll not lead you in a way that he is not going himself. He says, the Lord which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Men and women, the reality is this, that the word of God not only assures us of victory over the foe, but the Word of God is the means by gaining victory over the foe. It was in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 17 that Paul described the Christian armor. He spoke about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with gospel shoes, our loins girt about with truth, the shield of faith, and then he said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I tell you, as we seek to go forward with the Lord, there will be enemies to encounter in this generation. Ecumenism has not changed. Apostasy is still real. You have the modern easy believism gospel. You have the apathy and atheism of this world. But how can we go forward and conquer for the Lord? We should unsheath the Word of God. It's the preaching and proclamation of God's Word that will conquer every foe. There is only one way God wants His people to go, and that is forward with Him, leading the way and unsheathing the Word and the sword of God, that we might conquer all His and our enemies. Yes, as the children of Israel were treading new ways, the presence of the Lord went before them. The Word of the Lord went with them in their hearts. But the third thing I want you to notice this morning is that the blessing of the Lord followed behind them. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. Tells us, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. They shall stand upon a heap. It was after the children of Israel complied with God's command. The presence of the Lord, symbolized in the ark, went down into Jordan. As the priests put their foot, as they were about to dip their big toe in Jordan, the river Jordan went back. And the Lord opened up that river so the water stood upon a heap. And the children of Israel passed through. What a blessing. Can I say to you, it was a new blessing. Oh, you say, preacher, did the Lord not open the waters before? Did He not open the waters of the Red Sea? Yes, He did, but it was a new blessing in the sense that it was a blessing for that generation. You see, the generation in the wilderness experienced the Red Sea being opened, and they passed through. A generation passed away in the wilderness. But what God did for the previous generation at the Red Sea, He now did for this generation at the River Jordan. And it was new in the sense it was new for that generation. Men and women, we have heard, we have read, we have been told about the blessings of past generations, about revival, about souls being converted in their scores. Don't we want to experience it again in this generation and see another generation won for Jesus Christ? There were new battles to face, but there were new blessings to encounter and experience. You know, whenever the children of Israel pass through, they pass through those waters. And after the 12 stones were gathered out of Jordan as a memorial unto the Lord, they heard the crash of the waters of Jordan returning and overflowing all their banks again. Do you know what that told them? Told them they weren't to go back. There was no going back. they were to press forward in the work and service of the Lord. Jericho was to be conquered. The walls would fall down and God would overthrow the inhabitants of the land. There were blessings to be enjoyed when they followed the presence of the Lord in the midst. Treading new ways. We can rejoice in and we can thank God for a glorious past. But we must follow the Lord. We must have His presence before us, His word within us. And then we know that His blessing will follow us. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts, and may we follow Him. And may He lead us into paths of blessing and righteousness.